Opening your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Matthew.
Matthew chapter number 11. As you find your place there, I'd ask you to stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read just the last three verses of the chapter. Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we look into it this morning, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As we come to the Christmas season officially kicking off, at least it used to officially kick off with Black Friday on the Friday after Thanksgiving. Anymore, the Black Friday was extended out through the whole week in some stores, and some of them started on Wednesday night and all different times when they started it. But the Christmas season is here, and they say that Christmas time is one of the most difficult holidays for people to get through. So much stress in trying to find gifts and the pressure of having a busier than usual schedule when you're used to having loved ones there that have departed and gone on ahead that aren't there anymore. It's a difficult time physically and emotionally for so many. And so I thought this passage of Scripture would be a good one to look into as we enter Christmas 2015, getting a year ahead of myself. But, and don't let people say happy holidays. Ask them which holiday it is that they're celebrating. Try to get them to say Merry Christmas, because we're not celebrating holiday. We're celebrating Christmas, the birth of Christ. But as we come to this passage of Scripture, there's three things I find here in this passage. The first is a request. A request that Jesus is offering to you and to me. There in verse number 28, he says, come unto me. If we want rest, this is our source, the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest doesn't come in any other way. Oftentimes we think, well, if I could just get a good night's sleep, how rested I would be. And yet, a good night's rest does not guarantee, or a good night's sleep does not guarantee rest. Rest comes from Christ, and he invites us to come directly to him. We don't have to go to any substitute. We don't have to go to any other source. So many people are trying to find rest by going to their church and expecting the church to give them rest, and it's not found in a church. It's not found in a body of ordinances or commandments to keep. Some people think, well, if I can just keep the Old Testament law, or if I can just keep the Ten Commandments, surely I'll find the rest that I'm seeking after. And Jesus says it's not found there. It's found in coming to him. Some people believe that rest can be found in a list of doctrines to be believed and protected. And there's a lot to be said for biblical doctrine and the courage needed in the backbone to protect it in this day and age in which it's being thrown under the bus. We need to protect doctrine, but doctrine does not give us the rest that our souls long for. Rest is found in a person and a relationship with that individual, and that individual is none other than Jesus Christ, as he invites us to come personally to him. Now, so many go along their daily lives and never hear Jesus calling, never hear this invitation that's been extended to one and all. And the reason they don't is because they don't sense a need at this time and point in their lives. It's interesting to go back and hear how people got saved. And so often a person that gets saved is in a low point in their lives. When they get down so deep that they have nowhere else to look but up. And so Jesus, understanding that, as he extends the invitation, says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That labor, striving to make it through life and all the issues that come into life and all the problems that we encounter that we have to work our way through. Just a part of living as in a family is having family problems and family issues and laboring to have that work out in the best possible way. People are laboring through these issues and looking for help and looking for hope. We got a call that was on the answering machine of a man that was in tears, wanting me to give him a call. Well, I called back the number and it was disconnected. I have no idea what was going on there. But a man having a struggle in life and laboring, and where do people turn? They turn to the Lord, and they ought to do that. And Jesus says, if you're laboring through family issues, come to Him. He invites you, He requests you to come. Oftentimes we have labor in our careers as we strive to get ahead in this world and try to make ends meet and try to advance up the company ladder. Whatever it may be, oftentimes a career will lead to labor and stress in life. And Jesus says, I'll give you rest. He requests that we come to Him, that we don't go somewhere else or something else looking for that rest. Rest comes from our Lord. I think most people struggle with or labor through searching for the purpose of life. The purpose of life. They say there's three great questions that every man at one point or another deals with. The first is, where did I come from? The second is, what am I doing here? And the third is, where am I going? But it's the second of these that people so often labor with, whether they be young or whether they be old. It doesn't matter. We're all struggling. What is our purpose? Why did God put me here? Or if we're maybe a little bit older, thinking, why am I still here? God has a purpose. But as we don't understand that purpose, it becomes laborious for us. We struggle with that, and it creates unrest in our hearts and in our souls. And for you, Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You see, He's inviting those that labor under issues and problems and struggles in life. But He says, not just those that labor, but those that are heavy laden. Heavy laden. These are the things that come into our lives, the burden that we carry that we may not have anything to do with having them fall on our shoulders, and yet there they are, and we struggle under the weight wondering, how can I carry anymore? Has God given me more than I am able to carry? Jesus requests that we come unto Him, and He promises, I will give you rest. And so the first thing we see is this request to come unto Him. Come unto Him in the stable and meet Him there in the manger. And realize that He chose to leave all the glory of heaven, all the worship of the angels and of creation, and He chose to leave that for you to come as this helpless, innocent little baby. He knew what the end would be in this human body would be the cross. But He loved you enough to leave it all to come to this manger in the stable. He says, come unto me in the stable. He also says, come to me at the foot of the cross and meet me there, where He bore our sins, where He died on our behalf, where He paid our penalty, where He secured our forgiveness, our redemption. He says, come and meet me there. If you're struggling, if you're laboring, if you're bearing a heavy load, heavy laden, He says, come to me at the cross of Calvary and realize I bore it all. You need not carry it. Our biggest problem with bearing heavy burdens is that we try to carry it on our own. Jesus requests that we bring it to Him. He invites us and says, I'll carry it. It's up to us to hand it to Him. And then to leave it there and walk away unburdened. But too often we don't. Too often we'll come to Him in prayer and try to lay it there on His shoulders at the cross. And we may give it to Him while we're in prayer, but as soon as we get up and walk away, we say, oh, I forgot something. We reach back and grab it and put it back on our own shoulders. He says, don't do that. He says, let me bear your burden. So come to me at the stable. Come to me at the foot of the cross. He also wants us to go to Him at the tomb and meet Him there. where we see that he once and for all conquered the grave, conquered death, removing its sting. So many people struggle with death and what to do. This is dealing with that third great question of life, of where am I going when I leave this world? Jesus has already given us the assurance and has proven at the tomb. You can go to Muhammad's tomb and he's still there. You can go to Confucius's tomb and he'll still be there. But you go to Jesus's tomb and guess what? He's not there any longer. He only needed to borrow it for a couple of days. But he walked out of that grave very much alive and he ascended to heaven 40 days later. And there's coming a day when he's leaving heaven and coming back to earth. What a glorious day that'll be. But he says, you need not worry about death. You need not be concerned. Don't carry that burden of death. Don't labor to avoid it. Everywhere in Scripture, he presents it as a blessing. He presents it as our reward. And so the Christian should never be grieved over it, but we should rejoice at the prospects of it. Certainly we mourn at the homegoing of a loved one, and that's normal. But we realize it's just, I'll see you later. I'll miss you in the meantime, but there's coming a day when we'll be reunited. Whether the Lord takes me in death or whether we are reunited at the rapture when we're both changed. There is no sting in death for the believer. Jesus requests that we come unto Him, and He will give us rest from this burden, from this labor. He also says, don't just come to me in the stable. Don't just come to me at the foot of the cross. Don't just come to me in the tomb. Come to all those places, but come also to the throne of grace and meet me there. You see, our daily life is marked by daily need. And when we have those daily needs, there is one source that can supply every need. It's not the workplace. It's not the government office. It's not the lawmaker's office. That one place that can meet every need, that one source is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And at His foot, or the foot of His throne of grace, whereby we can receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Jesus says that we have not because we ask not. And then we ask and have not because we ask amiss. But He promised us that if we'll knock, He'll open. If we ask, He'll answer. If we seek, we'll find. He encourages us and requests us that if you're laboring, if you're bearing a heavy burden, if you have a need, just simply come to the foot of the cross. He says, meet me there. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You see, this is a promise from Almighty God. And so He encourages us not just to come to that throne of grace, but to come boldly, boldly. You know, if I have a need that I think is huge, I would hesitate to go to another human being, wouldn't you? We would think, well, this is far too big for them to be able to do anything about. But Jesus says there's nothing too big for me to deal with and for me to supply. And if we have a small need, we say, well, I'm not going to take that to anybody because it's so trivial. They'll just laugh and say, oh, that's not a big deal. You see, that's how we treat one another. But God says, at my throne of grace, He says, there is no need so small that it's trivial. God is concerned about our smallest needs and about the little details in our lives, and He wants to help you with those small things. You know, sometimes we think, well, I can carry this small thing. How much does a yay long piece of straw weigh? It doesn't weigh very much. But you take that little piece of straw and you bundle it into a bale of hay, it has a little bit of weight to it, doesn't it? And then if you roll it up into the big rolls that you see, and I don't know anything about farming, I'm showing my ignorance here, but I'll bet that roll of hay weighs a whole lot much more than a bale of hay, which weighs a lot more than just one little straw. But you see, they're all made up of one little straw of hay, aren't they? We have these little burdens, these little cares in our lives that we're carrying, and they may be little. We say, well, I can deal with that. But then life brings more of those one little straws into our lives for us to carry. And they began to mount up. And because we haven't gone to the throne of grace to take care of that first one, we're adding to it, and it becomes an unbearable load to carry. You see, God says, when you get that one little load, bring it to my throne of grace. He says, I want to help. The only reason I'm not is because you haven't come. There is no issue, no need, no want so small that God just doesn't care and won't respond. When it comes to wisdom, God says that He gives liberally and upbraideth not. Notice, He doesn't laugh. He doesn't scoff. He doesn't make fun of someone for coming, for not having known. He just says, I'm glad you came. Now here's what to do. When you come with that little burden, God doesn't laugh. God doesn't scoff. God doesn't make fun. God doesn't say, well, why'd you bring that little thing to me? Go deal with that yourself. Have you ever had anyone say, well, the Bible says God helps those that help themselves? I haven't found that in the Bible yet. You see, God helps those that cast their every care upon Him, for He careth for them. Every care, not the big ones, not the ones you can't deal with yourself. God says, come to my throne of grace and meet me there. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. We want rest. We're looking for rest. And we struggle to find it. And God says the reason we struggle to find it, and we're looking for it in all these things here on this world, whether it be our own efforts, our own strength, whether it be the latest and greatest gadget that's out there. God says you can find it in me. He says also, don't just come to the stable. Don't just come to the foot of the cross. Don't just come to the tomb. Don't just come to the throne of grace. But He says also, come to the Word and meet Him there. You see, this book that we call the Bible is as no other book in all the heavens and earth. There is only one, and it's settled forever in heaven for us. He tells us that it's given by inspiration. Given by inspiration, God breathed. The very author of this book, though recorded by the hand of man, the author is none other than God Himself. And He says of this book in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick doesn't mean fast. The word quick means alive. It's a living book. You can read the works of Shakespeare, and even though they move many, the works of Shakespeare are dead. They're dead. But the Word of God is alive. You can take any classic that's ever been written, and it is dead. But the Word of God is very much alive. He says it's quick and it's powerful. It's powerful. It moves not just the hearts of men, but it moves entire nations and civilizations. Why is there such a stark difference between the West and the East? Because the East wasn't influenced by the Word of God. Look at the Muslim nation and see how oppressive and how the rights of the individuals are just suppressed, and how you have such barbarity. And we wonder, how can that be? It can be that way because of the absence of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, changing man from being animalistic because of that fallen nature to being civilized and being loving and kind to their neighbor. The Word of God accomplishes that and nothing else. He says, come to the Word and meet me there, because it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, as of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If after the preaching of the Word of God, you're getting mad at the preacher, don't get mad at the preacher. He doesn't know what's going on in your life or what's going on in your heart, but God does. And God says He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. And if something's amiss, and if something's going astray, and if you're heading the wrong direction, God wants to get your attention. Especially if you don't read the Word of God through the week. This is the only place you're getting it. God is going to try to get to your heart and show you the way to travel, the way to go, show you your error through the preaching of His Word. And so pay attention to the Word of God, and when the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart, don't ignore that. That's the grace and goodness of God. Meet God in His Word. God says, don't carry those loads yourself. God says, don't labor needlessly. He says, I came, and if you'll come to me, but I came to give you rest. But we've got to be willing to meet Him where He'll be found and recognize Him for who He is. Even when we see those nativity sets with the little baby in the manger and depicting the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to realize that is Almighty God laying there in a baby. That even though He was 100% man, or 100% baby in that case, He was still 100% God. The very one who spoke and the heavens were created. The very one who spoke and the worlds were created. The very one who spoke and the earth was filled with everything that we know. So come where He is and recognize Him for who He is and realize that He requests you to come unto Him and He'll give you rest. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I can't help but feel that in a group this size, there are some who are carrying burdens. Father, I just pray that as we have the time of invitation, that even though they may have already been cast on Your shoulders, Father, that we'll be encouraged to cast anew, and that we'll seek that rest that only You can provide. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.